This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662. Or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. You can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com and we'll answer them. Layla Mudin, of course, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. I work with her on a daily basis at the Hoffman Center. And she's here to help with fielding your questions. How are you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Very well, thanks. And before we get to questions, anything in the news? It's been a pretty crazy news cycle because it's the election and everything is about, the latest developments in the election and the latest appeals by the candidates, the latest scandals and revelations, whatever.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
It's never ending.
Wow.
Never ending. Mm-hmm. Okay. So some of you may be listening to this when the outcome is a foregone conclusion. So ignore those comments. In the news this week, this is something that lasted for about 2 days in the news, and I was going to report on it. They came up with a very effective male birth control pill. They've always been talking about this, so that it's no longer the women's responsibility. You know, women have to, take the initiative in birth control by taking the pill and taking it judiciously and so on. I saw the story pop up a couple of days ago. Uh-huh. And within 48 hours, they've reversed course on this story to the effect that the most recent headline is birth control shots for men prevent pregnancy but cause mood swings and depression.
That's a side effect of the pill. Wait,
of course.
That's a side effect of oral contraceptives for women. Oh, no.
We men can't even put up with those side effects for a second. We know that you women have been putting up with those side effects of birth control pills for 50 years, but come on. You don't expect us to have, painful breasts or mood swings or depression, loss of sexual interest. I mean, come on. Get real. Get real.
5 to 7 pounds of water weight that just won't go away.
Come on. I'm not gonna put up with that. I gotta come up with a better answer than that. Meanwhile, you women can just keep taking your oral contraceptives and suffer.
Right. Well, if men were the ones getting pregnant, I'm sure they would say otherwise or preach otherwise. So
they would take the pill as a or the shot as a preferable alternative.
Or something.
So, clearly this bespeaks a double standard, shall we say, in the field of contraception. Because men just won't put up with those kind of side effects that women have been putting up with I think birth control pill came of age when we came of age, like in the 1960s, or at least when I did, anyway. That's the story.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So, there you have it.
Wow.
All right, so let's get to questions.
Okay, we've got an email from Gabriella. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I keep hearing and reading about the relationship between cruciferous vegetables and thyroid malfunction. So do we have to be careful and not have it more than 4 days a week, or is it okay to eat them every other day as long as they're cooked, or do we have to eliminate them completely for an underactive or overactive thyroid? Please settle this dilemma and keep delivering your valuable information to our homes.
Okay. So I did a deep dive on that subject earlier in 2016. This article's from March 24, 2016, entitled Can What You Eat Really Damage Your Thyroid? And I did some extensive research on this because It is now being bandied about, especially on health websites, that you can't eat cruciferous vegetables. You can have no soy. You can have no seaweed because these things will damage your thyroid. So you need to avoid. And, or if you have any intimation of a thyroid problem, just absolutely stay away from these foods. Well, the net result of that, when it comes to cruciferous vegetables, they have wonderful anti-cancer compounds in them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'd be missing out on those valuable compounds. So, you know, just here's some headlines that I assembled. 11 foods that affect your thyroid health. Eat goitrogens in moderation. Goitrogens, thyroid-inhibiting foods you should avoid. And these are, you know, catchy, clickbait headlines.
Right.
Help your thyroid by limiting or avoiding goitrogenic foods. News update, can kale cause hypothyroidism? So, you know, I looked into this, and what I discovered is that you'd have to consume a heck of a lot of especially raw cruciferous vegetables for that to happen. Cooking.
You'd have to have a pound of kale in your smoothie every day, 7 days a week.
Yes.
Like the Chinese woman in the New England Journal of Medicine article that you refer to a lot, Dr. Hoffman.
Yep.
The one who had eaten a whole lot of 2 pounds of bok choy every day?
Yep.
Or something like that? So, and then...
Yeah, here's the story. There was a case of an 88-year-old Chinese woman who was found by her family to be lethargic and unresponsive. She was unable to walk or swallow for 3 days, and she was brought to the emergency room. It was discovered that she had consumed an estimated 2 to 3 pounds of raw bok choy daily for several months. I give her credit. You know, you're 88 years old. You got to have good teeth to be able to do that. Wow.
Yeah.
In the belief that it would help control her diabetes, tests revealed her to have almost no thyroid function at all, and she recovered completely when she was given thyroid hormone, and she stopped her bok choy jag. Okay, so this can happen, but with massive amounts of raw, and also certain species of kale. Not all species of kale, but what I worry about perhaps are the people who have kale smoothies every day, day in and day out, you know, raw kale in the, you know, juicing. That could potentially be a problem.
Right.
So, however, broccoli seems to be relatively free of that effect, and that's a wonderful food to have. And, you know, I actually read a scientific article where there's sort of a hierarchy of foods which cause this, and kale, one species of kale, which is called Russian kale or Siberian kale, seems to, and I don't know the difference. I can't tell you when I'm eating kale whether I'm eating one species or the other. You know,
that's particularly problematic.
It's particularly problematic. I would say more likely the you know, they have like a lot of kale salad, and that seems to be less bitter, and you know, perhaps has less of these compounds in it that are the incriminating compounds. So the answer is, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Eat your broccoli.
Yeah.
Eat your cabbage.
Yeah.
Eat your, you know, in good portioned normal amounts. That's perfectly fine. No reason to consume 2 to 3 pounds of anything in lieu of everything else that you should be eating on a daily basis. And again, nature's argument for variety in the diet. When we have variety, we're not going to get more of one thing than another and so forth and so on. And it kind of, diversity works that way.
So, just apropos of that, let me just tell you what I made for lunch. I had, there's this new thing that you can get at Trader Joe's, which is cauliflower rice. And what it does is it enables you to bypass the step where you have to take cauliflower and chop it into little rice-sized pieces. You can do that in a food processor, but it's kind of a nuisance. So they make, they or a ricer. So, but they offer, I bought a ricer. It's not that effective. It's kind of labor intensive. So they do it for you.
Is it a potato ricer? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, and it's not that satisfactory.
Yeah.
So you can just buy it prepared, in the refrigerated section. And what I did is, I had some leftover chicken and I put the leftover chicken in there with gravy. And, let's see, I chopped some garlic in it. I put some coconut aminos on it, or you can use soy sauce if you use soy. To, you know, give it a kind of a flavor. And that was my lunch. You know, I hope you ate that with chopsticks.
I hope you had that with chopsticks.
I didn't have any chopsticks. I meant to save chopsticks, but I never order out Chinese food anymore, so I need to get some chopsticks.
I know people, specifically people who are weight conscious or desire to lose a few pounds or anything, they will resort to eating with chopsticks so they eat more slowly.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't help me because I'm too adept with chopsticks. I can shovel the food in. I can really shovel the food in.
You're gonna eat like a true Asian who's
just
adept
put,
at
put the
using,
bowl right
using
up to my
chopsticks.
Mouth and just shovel it in.
Right.
Yeah.
And oh, that's great. That's good to know about Trader Joe's. I love cooking broccoli and making the fake mashed potato, not broccoli, cauliflower.
Yep.
And making the fake mashed potatoes in a pot with some, maybe chicken stock or bone broth or something, cook it through and then mash it with a potato masher.
So let's help our listeners out. Why are these people going through contortions to have cauliflower rice instead of regular rice or instead of just having potatoes? What's the advantage of the cauliflower over rice or potatoes?
Well, it's a vegetable rather than a grain. It's a vegetable rather than a starch. I know I watch it. So, and having these quote fake mashed potatoes is wonderful.
Yeah.
And on occasion I'll do a little grating sprinkling of Parmesan cheese and it adds just the right amount of, you know, nuttiness to it. Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
Or you can sprinkle flaxseed or some ground you know, put some toasted sesame seeds on top or sunflower seeds and get, you know, flavor it that way.
Right. So, yeah, that's why. And it's a way to get your antioxidants. People think that cauliflower, because it's white, doesn't contain any antioxidant. Now I'm pulling on my brain a little bit to remember the name of the antioxidant in cauliflower.
Would that be sulforaphane? Sulforaphane?
Well, it could be a sulforaphane, but there is another one associated with the white pigment.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Of cauliflower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. If there's a lull in the conversation, you can look it up and let our listeners know.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go.
So eat your crucifers, most definitely. Continue to eat them and don't worry so much.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Stop the daily kale smoothies.
Yeah.
Especially Siberian.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We've got a very, very thoughtful question from Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. I'm a regular listener of the Health Talk radio program. My husband and I are interested in taking Vimpro.
By the way, it's no longer Health Talk. We changed the name a couple of years ago. It's Intelligent Medicine. It's like the artist formerly known as that whole thing with, when he changed his name.
The artist formerly known as Prince, God rest his soul.
Right. So it's the program formerly known as Health Talk, now known as Intelligent Medicine. Right.
So Robin says, my husband and I are interested in taking Vimpro. What I don't understand is how it works. In other words, how can it be beneficial to both men and women when we each have specific levels of the hormones testosterone and estrogen? Mm-hmm. I know this probably sounds silly to you, but how does the supplement know if your body is male or female to know how to adjust your hormones appropriately?
Right.
Thank you greatly for your response.
Okay, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
And the answer is that DIM appears to attenuate, in particular, estrogen. So with women, excess estrogen is certainly a problem. It causes estrogen dominance. Breast pain, PMS, moodiness, bloating, water retention, and a host of other miseries, heavy periods, fibroids, ovarian cysts, and so on. So that's why, DIM can be helpful for women. We get that. Well, what about DIM for men? What is it going to reduce their testosterone? And the answer is it probably won't reduce testosterone. But what it does is it prevents the aromatization of testosterone into estrogen, which is a problem for men, because it's actually been suggested that the problem in prostate cancer is not so much that there is a preponderance of testosterone. It's that some of the testosterone is becoming estrogenized or converted into estrogen, aromatized into estrogen. And that leads to problems. Also, too much estrogen in men's bodies may lead to gynecomastia, general deposition of fat, you know, like in a female fat distribution in men, which is not great, fat around the hips and the abdomen. Dimpro also specifically works on the prostate. It may work not just by modulating hormones. It may have a direct anti-cancer effect. There are multiple effects of Dimpro. So I like to prescribe Dimpro for prostate cancer prevention, for breast mm-hmm. cancer prevention as well. And, you know, the tissue in some ways is similar. Breast, you know, it's glandular tissue in the breast and in the prostate.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, going back to the cauliflower contains phenolic compounds, quercetin, some amount of vitamin A, lutein, zeaxanthin, and cryptoxanthin.
Cryptoxanthin.
That's the name, cryptoxanthin.
Okay.
That's what I was looking for.
Okay, good.
So, cooking can actually enhance some of that in cauliflower. So, just because, you know, we're always emphasizing stay away from white foods, that does not include cauliflower. So, anyhow. That's very interesting about DIM.
I'm looking up an article, and if you go to drhoffman.com, there's a search box with a little loop in it, and if you put in a term, you'll be able to find the article. So that's what I did, and I found my recent article also from 2016. You know, the year's not over, but, you know, so much information we put out this year. It's just, I mean, I'm even surprised at the stuff that I wrote. Supplement of the week, DIM, and we talk about DIM. So, DIM possesses hormone modulating effects. It may do so in several ways. Studies suggest it protects the body from xenoestrogens. Those are the outside compounds that mimic and intensify the effects of estrogen. And DIM has also been shown to favorably alter the ratios of good to bad estrogen. So it's not just estrogen per se. It's the ratio of certain forms of estrogen that are more likely to cause cancer, others that are protective against cancer. And DIM has been found to antagonize the effects of DHT. Okay, DHT is bad testosterone. It's also the testosterone that's responsible for baldness. So, you know, when we think of like something as a hormone modulator, it may work in many ways. Thus, DIM's application to hormone-dependent cancers, breast and uterine in women, prostate in men, as well as to the condition of estrogen dominance. So, you know, that's, it also may help as a diet aid for women who struggle with a pear-shaped fat distribution. You know, that's often a sign of estrogen excess. And then there are direct anti-cancer effects that go beyond their hormone modulating effects. It may promote DNA repair. It may promote what's called apoptosis, which is the natural death of cells.
Programmed cell death.
Programmed cell death, which cancer cells are immortal, and we actually want them to have a limited lifespan like normal cells. And DIM has been shown to stimulate the activity of natural killer cells, which is the body's surveillance against cancer, part of the immune system. So
everybody needs more of that.
Anti-angiogenesis effects, which deprives the cancer of blood supply. So there's a multiplicity of ways in which it works, as do many of these natural compounds. They work, and then we do the analysis, and then it turns out there's a multiplicity of pathways.
So there you have it, Robin.
Yeah.
DIM is appropriate for both you and your husband.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We've got an email from Dan. Dr. Hoffman, why don't you like krill oil? Salmon eat krill. You're for grass-fed beef. Why not krill?
I guess I'm just not a nice person. I don't like krill. You know, why don't you like krill? Come on.
Why don't you like krill?
Get with it. I'll tell you, I think krill is, I think it's an oversold commodity. And what I kind of resent about krill is that there are claims that it's not just a source of omega-3, but that it's a superior source of omega-3 and that people should be using krill instead of another fish oil capsule. And there's also I happen to know this as an industry insider, there's an enormous capitalization, an enormous amount of money consecrated to marketing krill. And it's just a marketing phenomenon as opposed to something that has its real scientific bona fides. And we know that that's the case with, you know, many consumer products in this country. They aren't that great, but then you put enormous advertising bucks behind them, they take on a life of their own. So krill is not a terrible source of omega-3. It does have some, but usually krill oil capsules have less fish oil than fish oil capsules. They have less omega, they have less EPA and DHA. But the claim is that it's more bioavailable because of, you know, the structure of the omega-3. And that has never really been demonstrated conclusively. I've looked at all the studies that claim, and there are a few studies that are invoked to claim the superiority of krill, but they're very weak studies. They really are not,
they're not
strong
or rigorous.
Rigorous studies. And there's, you know, they stack the deck and they use inferior fish oil products to make the comparison. So they also claim that there's, astaxanthin in krill oil. And astaxanthin is a coloring agent used to turn farmed salmon pink, and it's an antioxidant. But I think the research on astaxanthin is, it's not that well along in terms of establishing it as a potent, useful nutrient. And if you want, you can just take fish oil, and if you want, you can take some extra astaxanthin in a pill. You don't have to take krill oil. So, that's why I'm not that, I haven't bought into the krill oil, hysteria. I didn't know that there's some very powerful voices who market krill oil, you know, in the, in the, shall we say, the, holistic or alternative health media.
And, right.
But there's a proprietary interest in doing that because that's what they're selling.
Right. So, Dan, there is your answer from Dr. Hoffman. Okay.
Yeah. It's not that I'm not a nice person. It's I'm really very friendly. Okay. So, that being said, let's pause because we divide these podcasts into two parts and give us a preview of what we'll be talking about in part two.
Is naringenin, grapefruit's bitter taste, naringenin a help for diabetes?
Okay. Great question. A new nutrient we haven't discussed yet on our Intelligent Medicine podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. And this is our weekly Q&A with Layla. Please stay with us for part two.